This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Greetings, this is Harry. I represent the Reformed Church of Hastings, being one of the Reformed Churches of New Zealand. Our place of worship is 1234 Howard Street, Park Vale. You're most welcome to join us in worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. and also at 4:30 p.m. Do join us. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ declares, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue, as he taught at Capernaum. Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, what if you were presented with a gift, something that you had always craved for, but just out of reach? And you were presented with this gift, free, gratis, and for nothing. How would you respond? Would you cry, laugh? Would you dance around the room? What would your response be, though, when Jesus Christ offers you as a free gift everlasting life? Now, you would expect people, they'll be laughing, jumping, weeping, and turning in circles. Well, in the previous reading, you see people grumbling after Jesus Christ had just said the most amazing things. He said that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes has eternal life. And if the audience had understood what Jesus was saying, you should have had a reaction of ecstatic cheering and joy. Now, in another situation in the New Testament, there we find Peter and John at the temple, and they come up to a man. He is crippled, and he is asking for a handout. He is begging. But Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have and we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And how does the man respond? Does he say, thank you? No, he gets up and the Bible says he went walking and leaping and praising God, joining them in the temple. You see, being rescued from eternal death given the free gift of eternal life with God, with our Lord Jesus, the experience of receiving that gift should produce that sort of astonishment and joy. But what happened in our reading? Well, when the Jews heard this, they started grumbling. They had questions. And the truth is, when many contemporary Christians hear this, they just yawn. Oh, we heard it all before. It's old news. You see, we can, like the Jews in Jesus' audience, we can tragically simply miss the outrageous thing that Jesus is saying, the astonishing truth of his words, just like water off a duck's back. So my question today is, what do we need to see in order to see this? What do we need to understand so that these words become precious and glorious and exhilarating? What has to happen so that these words produce in us steadfast hope and inexplicable peace and inexpressible joy? What do we need to see? Well, what is Jesus saying to us? He's telling us very specifically, very clearly who he is, why he came, and how we can receive this gift. Let's look first at Jesus' words when he declared, "I am the bread of life." Now, this is the first of seven I ams in the Gospel of John. Jesus also said, "I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd." So there's seven of those I am statements, and it's unique to the Gospel of John. Other Gospel accounts tell us who Jesus is. Here we have Jesus Christ in a very specific way telling us personally who he is. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus Christ is telling us in black and white from his mouth to our ears, Jesus is telling us, "This is who I am." But he says it in a way that makes us ask questions. This is not a normal thing for people to say, that "I am the bread of life." What does that mean? And Jesus wants us to ask, what does that mean? And he spends a good time then explaining what it means. And he does so by way of comparison and contrast. First, by way of comparison, Jesus references the Old Testament story of manna from heaven. In the Old Testament, the Lord God led Israel out of Egypt with Moses at the lead. Maybe 3 million people, scholars estimate. They went into the wilderness. And there's a reason that people don't live in the wilderness. There's no food, there's no water, and yet there they were. How are they going to survive? Well, the Lord God, when it comes to food, gives them this miracle manna, this stuff that falls from heaven every night, except for the Sabbath. But it's this small, wafer-like, sugary food that tastes like honey. And miraculously, this manna is able to provide all the nutrients the body needs to survive and thrive. And they fed on this for 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus says, I'm like that, but I am the true bread that comes from heaven. I am the miraculous provision of God for the sustenance of his people, the sustenance of sinners. In Jesus, there's everything we need, not just for physical life, but for life, spiritual life, life in communion with God. Everything we need to get us through this world in communion with God, on our way to the promised land. We have it all in Jesus. He is the manna for our soul, and that's the comparison. But Jesus' main emphasis in this text is the contrast, where Jesus says, "I am not like the manna in the wilderness." And there is a crucial way that he's not like the manna in the wilderness. Verse 49, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." This, pointing to himself, this is the bread that came down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. That's the critical difference. You see, the manna that the Israelites ate was able to sustain them for a short period of time physically. But that's it. They ate it and they died. And the question that we need to ask, and it's something all the Jews would understand because they know the story very well, but the question we need to ask is, why did they die? It's not just because of old age and natural causes. If you remember the story, the Israelites were there in the wilderness and God promised to bring them into the land that he had promised to Abraham. So Moses sent 12 spies into the land and came back with a report. And so the men went and came back, and the land was everything God said it was. It was flowing with milk and honey. It was a rich land, a good land. The problem was that there were giants in the land, and 10 of the spies said, "Oh, that we look like grasshoppers. We're just like ants, and the cities are really well fortified." And their conclusion was, "There is no way in the world we're going to be able to take this land." That was the word of the 10 spies. And the people listened to that report and fell into despair. And they're yelling at Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die here? We could have died back there. Why do you bring us out here with our children to die out here in the wilderness?" Well, the Lord God didn't bring them out of Egypt to die. God brought them out of Egypt to live. God brought them out of Egypt to do exactly what he promised to Abraham. He was going to do to give to Abraham's descendants a land flowing with milk and honey as a free gift, where they could dwell together as God's people, with God as their God. That's why he brought them out of Egypt. But to experience the reality of that gift, they needed to believe in the Lord God and the promises of God, in the power of God. You can't enjoy the blessings of God without faith, the saving blessings of God. And there are only two of those men who believed out of those spies. It was Caleb and Joshua. And so what did the Lord God do? Well, in response to their unbelief and grumbling, God said that not a single one of you over the age of 40 is ever going to see the land. Not one except Caleb and Joshua, the men who believed in the Lord God. All the rest was going to die in the wilderness. So the manna was able to sustain their body. But you see, the manna could not deliver them from the deadly consequence of their unbelief. The manna couldn't erase their guilt before God. The manna couldn't make them live and enter into the land that God had promised to them. And so they ate the manna and they died in their wilderness, every last one of them. And Jesus says, "I am not like that manna. I have come to do precisely what that manna could never do. I am the living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." And in this, Jesus tells us why he came. You see, people, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Jesus did not come to help people clean up their act. He didn't come to just give moral lessons. He didn't come to give life instruction. Jesus didn't come so that we could have more amour and meaning and significance in our lives as we follow a faith tradition. Jesus Christ came because this whole world was under the sentence of death. Everyone dies. Why? We so just cheaply, shallowly just sign it off as old age and disease and or tragedy. It's just the way it is. Well, you know, it's not just the way it is. It's fundamentally not just the way it is, at least not the way it was supposed to be. God did not create Adam and Eve to die. He created them to live. But when they fell into sin and rebellion, then God's word proved true. The soul that sins shall surely die. And Adam and Eve died, and that seed of sin is passed on, and the guilt of their sin is even passed on to all the generations that followed them, even up to us. Now the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that in Adam all die, and that's not just physical death. Physical death is just the irrefutable sign that something's wrong. Eternal death is what Jesus is about. Jesus says, don't worry about the people who can kill your body. Pay attention to the one who can destroy your soul and your body in hell. It's eternal death that he's concerned about, and he's speaking to people who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, just like everyone else, just like you and me, and people who will receive the wages of sin, which is death. And so you see, the critical question for mankind, for us, how do we escape this? How do we escape that? Because ignoring it is not going to help. A conversation I had one time with a man who was dying and was asked, how are you dealing with this? And his answer was, oh, I don't think about it. Well, that's not going to help. And yet, it's pretty generally the way that people respond. We don't think about it. So we'll just plow into our hobbies and get all caught up in sports and our careers and making money and raising our family. And we just won't think about it. Well, okay, well, there's going to come a day when I promise you, you will think about it. And if that day is the day you stand before Jesus Christ, then that day is too late. Jesus Christ is begging us to think about it. It's why he's here. It's why he came. How do we escape? That's the question that the Holy Spirit will work into a person's heart. When the Spirit is doing a saving work, and they'll start asking themselves, what about my sin? What about Judgment Day? If God is a holy God, and if I am a sinner, as you see myself to be, how do I escape? How do I escape hell? We can easily just not think about the truth, the reality of death, the reality of hell. Jesus Christ wants us to think about it because Jesus came to deliver us from it. They're not little one-off statements. He's pounding this home. Look at verse 50. This is the bread that came down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now Jesus, at the tomb of Lazarus, he had died, says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's incredible. Never die, live forever. Well, that's what Jesus says. That's what he promises. And then Jesus says this strange thing, that if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. So how do we receive this? Because that's clearly in Jesus' mind what has to happen. We have to eat the bread if we want to live. Because we don't eat the bread, Jesus says, you will have no life in you. So how do we eat the bread? Well, let's look at the text. The Jews didn't understand. They're saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? But Jesus responds by doubling down and says it again with more emphasis. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And again, we're meant to ask, what in the world does that mean? Because if you just read and go, that's odd, and carry on, well, you're going to miss it. You don't want to miss this. This is your life. You don't want to get this wrong. So what does it mean? Jesus says, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So what is he pointing to? Where do you see in the Bible Jesus giving his flesh for the life of the world? Well, the answer is, of course, on that cross of suffering. That's what he's pointing to, his sacrifice on the cross in our place for our sins, bearing our guilt to rescue us from death. Remember John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus coming, he points to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ wants us to understand that is why he came, to give his life as a ransom for many. So, and all sinners need to do is have life that flows from the cross, is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. What does that mean? Well, it means you need to take it to yourself. You need to take it to yourself in repentance and faith. This is crucial because there's so many people who call themselves Christians who miss it. This is not just agreeing with what the preacher says about Jesus' death on the cross. The language is very intimate. I want you to imagine that you committed a crime. Maybe you stole money from your employer. And you really did it, and the judge sentenced you, and he sentenced you to receive, let's just think in old times, sentenced to receive 40 lashes of the whip. Painful, suffering, and it's going to be carried out immediately. And so they brought you out into the courtyard where this is going to be done. It's going to be in public. But when you got to the courtyard, you found your employer there already, stripped to the waist, because he had volunteered to be punished in your place. But you had to watch. And so you watched, blow after blow after blow. You watched that innocent man who had done nothing but good to you suffer excruciatingly for your sin against him. You heard the whip meet the flesh. You heard the groans. You saw the back being shredded. So, I promise you, if you have any life in you, it would destroy you. You would beg for it to stop, because you see, that's what the cross does for every person who comes to Jesus in that way. It crushes you. You can't help it. So, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And I would like to encourage you to attend a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church community in your area to hear this wonderful gospel message of news on a weekly basis. Let us take a moment in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, how great your love is for us, how vast beyond all measure that you should give your only Son to make us your treasure. Forgive our lack of response. Forgive our shallow response to your great love for us. We are so focused on ourselves, on our own hurts, our own problems, our own difficulties and anxieties. Help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes to you, to acknowledge you not only as our Creator, but also to acknowledge you as the author and perfecter of our salvation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to forgive and give us hearts of compassion, a heart of forgiveness. How can we refuse to forgive others who have hurt us? A small debt in comparison to you. And we ask these things only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we are able to stand. We ask this only in the name of our Lord and Savior, our only God, our Savior, and to him be glory and majesty and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Amen and amen. So it is, and so it shall be. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. If you would like to comment, our number is 876062. 0687 600 62. In the Gospel of John we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever has faith will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
But I'm ready now, I'm waiting for your triumphant return. You're coming soon. This world has nothing for me. I find my peace and joy solely in you, only in you. I want the world to see you're alive and living well in me. Let me be a part of the harvest, for the days are few.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.